T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Fourth and goal from the 2. Ravens offense still on the field. Here we go. Fourth and goal from the 2. Davis in the backfield with Lamar Jackson. Now he's in motion to the left side. In the shotgun. Snap. Jackson going to throw. Takes a look. Pocket collapsing. Drops back. Throws it towards the end zone. It is intercepted in the end zone. Picked off in the end zone. Jordan Poyer stepped in front of that pass. Picked off in the end zone by the Bills veteran safety, Jordan Poyer. How about that one?
Here's John Murphy on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network on the call last Sunday. This past Sunday, Bills beat the Ravens 23-20, thanks in large part to that play right there. Jordan Poyer, the interception, gives the Bills the ball back at their own 20-yard line instead of their own 2 or 3, which it would have been on. Jordan Poyer is on the injury report this week. He has not practiced this week at all with the rib injury, and he got hurt on that play. He got hurt on that play, so he basically like keeled over a little bit as he went to the sidelines. Trainers were all around him. I say he finished the game, Joe, but the defense never went back on the field after that play. That was the last play that he would have been able to play anyway. So when I say he finished the game, it's kind of a technicality, right? I mean, he played the last play of defense, but there were still 5 minutes left, and the defense never saw the field again. So it's tough to say if he actually would have even went back out on the field. We don't know that.
We're talking about Poyer.
So we won't know, and we'll talk with Sean McDermott a little while and see, you know, what his status is along with all these other guys who are injured.
Yeah, and they don't have another safety other than Jaquan Johnson, Damar Hamlin, at least officially listed as a safety, right?
Correct.
Cam Lewis would be the third guy?
I would think so. Cam Lewis has worked at safety, and Saran Neal can play safety a little
bit, right?
But he's more of like the box guy and big nickel. But you're right. I mean, they only have 3 actual active safeties on the roster. Even when Micah Hyde went on IR,
they
never replaced him on the roster.
Yeah, they never signed him one. So they must feel that Lewis is capable. Because if they didn't, they would have another safety somewhere.
I would think so.
Practice squad even.
It might also mean that he feels that Jordan could be ready to play. But we'll see, right? We'll talk to Sean McDermott in a little while. By the way, so that play. Joe, this is one of there have not been a lot of Bills games like this because the Bills haven't played a lot of one-score games. And when they have, obviously, you know, there was the record of the 0-7. But generally, it's been a lot of these blowouts and things like that. That was one of the moments. And my 9 years on the sidelines, Joe, I just got to tell you, that was super intense. When they left the offense on the field, the Ravens, on that fourth down, it just got like, you could feel like the tension in the stadium, like, oh my God, what is, oh, here we go. And Murph says it. He goes, here we go. And I don't get a lot of those moments on the sidelines because late in games, there haven't been a lot of these one-score field goal games for the Bills. Even when they've lost one-score games, right? Like a lot of times it might be in a different fashion, not like that. This was a tie game, fourth down, 4 minutes left, and the offense stays on the field for Baltimore. And I'm just looking around. We're all like, oh my God, like this is awesome.
Yeah.
And, it was really cool.
And the fact that they pulled it out, because now I'm already immediately thinking, it's like the last time the Bills would have had like late game, game is either tied or you're right behind them. And like this, like it's the here we go play, right?
Yeah. I think
you've had, there's two that come to mind for me. And what's amazing is they lose both of these games.
Oh.
One is the Chief game.
Yeah, of course.
Because you had, that happened twice in that game. Here we go. Fourth and, was it fourth and 12? Fourth and 13? The Gabe Davis touchdown? You know what's amazing?
No, the last touchdown wasn't fourth down.
The second to last one.
Yeah, I think that might have been.
I remember tweeting, we might be about to etch fourth and whatever into our brains forever. Fourth and 12 or whatever.
Right.
And I don't remember the yardage because of what happened after. So that would have been that moment, but they end up losing the game. The other one I thought of was the Cardinal game. 2 years ago. Here we go. Like, it was third down, right, to Diggs, and, like, they
and
needed
the
to
Hail
score.
Mary after that.
Right, the Hail Mary happens after, so we forget about it.
Right.
So it's nice to pull one out after having, like, a huge play like that at the end that's memorable.
And when's the last time that happened? I don't know. Like, I go back to maybe, did they have anything? I'm trying to think. It wasn't really last year. Actually, you know what? In a way, New England punching the ball out, Justin Zimmer, was a little bit like that, right? You didn't have that moment of, here we go with the play.
Yep.
Right? But you did have that kind of come down to the end, and it was coming down, and here come the Patriots. Justin Zimmer punches it out. Dean Marlowe winds up falling on the ball, and we did that as well. So, anyway, should be really interesting Sunday as well with the Buffalo Bills taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, we're told we have Sean McDermott on the line now, so we'll do that. Let's get to the Buffalo Bills head coach for his weekly segment here on WGR.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Now, here's Sal and Joe with Coach McDermott. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills.
All right, Sean McDermott joins us on the Wester Hotline right now. Good morning, Coach. It's Sal and Joe, as usual. Hope your Friday's going well.
Good morning. Good to be with you guys, and I hope you guys are doing well also.
All right, Coach, as we start every Friday with injuries, I know it's a long list this week, so I guess the best way to ask you right off the bat is, are you declaring anyone out for Sunday's game as of right now?
Okay, so out for Sunday will be Christian Benford, Jake Kumerow, Jameson Crowder, Jordan Poyer, Dawson Knox, Isaiah McKenzie remains in the protocol, and the rest, we'll just see how it goes today.
Okay, you got a lot of guys who kind of are ramping up a little bit. What do you feel about the progress that Jordan Phillips has made and Ed Oliver has made? Obviously, they've missed a couple of games. What do you feel about their progress throughout the week so far?
Yeah, I think they're making steady progress. Coming back off the injury, and we'll be smart. We're trying to be smart with them on the reps since it's been a while since they've both played.
And now with Jordan out, obviously, we saw DeMar get a lot of playing time last week next to him. We've seen Jaquan in that position. Just tell us a little bit about the growth of the two safeties who probably are in line to play a little bit more this week as well. One guy's been in your system for 4 years, the other for a couple of years, and what you've seen from them and how they've come along, DeMar and Jaquan specifically.
You're right. They've been able to watch two veteran players, two very good players in Jordan and Micah on a day-to-day basis and then get their own reps and experience. And DeMar is a little bit younger than Quan. I tell you, I've been very impressed with their work ethic and their just ability to adapt on the run here with what's been going on.
On the offensive side, thinking about Khalil Shakir for this mostly, and we'll obviously see what happens with Isaiah McKenzie in the next couple of days. But I wonder about him being a rookie, and I guess it shouldn't matter what round he was picked in, but the mental aspects of the game would seem to be most important when determining the readiness for a guy like Shakir.
Right. I mean, when you're a rookie, you've got to really ramp up the details, and you're asked to do a lot in terms of learning a new position, in some cases learning more than one position. In Shakir's situation, and he's done a really good job of that to this point.
And returning punts, we talked with him in the locker room, and I know you're big on making sure you secure it, Coach. You have a windy stadium here. It's going to be a little bit breezy on Sunday as well, but he said the number one thing when he's back there, making the right decision. That might not even mean catching the ball, right? Can you kind of walk us through kind of making sure that your guys understand how important it is to make the right decision as a punt returner, especially in this stadium?
Yeah, I think that's very, very important in this stadium, but also overall. You saw Shakir come into the game last week and was back to return punts, made a good decision with the ball slightly over his head and the ball rolled into the end zone. I mean, all those things are probably not talked about too much in the media, but they're hidden yards, right, mm-hmm. when you make good decisions. And it helps your team.
Sean, I want to ask you a little bit about James Cook. There's been a couple of plays. He put the ball on the ground against LA. He's had a couple of balls, I guess you'd say, he should have caught that he did not. He's not on the field a ton, but, it's still early, and it's not an indictment on his career, of course. But What do you what's going on between you and the player in this situation when he's a rookie and he's trying to find his way? Maybe things haven't gone the way he wants them to go so far, and how you can maintain that positive energy and outlook.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's anything with going on between me and the player, just other than it's about a player earning his way onto the field, and when you're detailing your work and you're earning it on a day-to-day basis, those things come, and sometimes it just takes time for players to adjust to the level of the NFL and to the day-to-day approach that you have to be really good and to develop that necessary consistency.
Sean, I want to check in on the defensive line a little bit now that we're almost a quarter of the way through the season. And Greg Rousseau, like, he's putting up the numbers, right? Like, it's 4 sacks in 4 games. Like, the pass rush win rate stats, he's all over the top of those lists in the league. Are you noticing a difference between year one and year two for Greg Rousseau?
Right. And again, that's where, when you're young, it's really difficult to play. It's really difficult to come in and be, as polished and detail-oriented as you need to be in this league to have the necessary success for us. I think Greg is as good an example of that as any, where Greg, very conscientious, came out of college, even though he was young, very polished and on the details. There's just so much that is asked of a player in their first year, and you saw that with Greg, and now he stayed on the details. He stayed after his goal and the vision for himself, and he worked his tail off in the off season, and now he's starting to reap the benefits of his hard work and his perseverance at this point.
Sean McDermott on the Western Hotline. All right, Coach, let's turn our attention to your opponent on Sunday, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You go a long way back with head coach Mike Tomlin. You played together at William & Mary. He's had so much success in this league. I'm a big fan of Coach Tomlin. I just think he's so great at what he does and how he goes about his business. But what makes him a successful coach from what you know about his personality and his leadership?
Well, I think you said it. He's got a great personality, great people skills. He's a true leader. Most of it's natural. He was that way when we played together in college, and he just has continued with that throughout his career to this point in the NFL.
Following up on Tomlin a little bit, but thinking of Kenny Pickett making his first start in the NFL this week, or expected to, maybe you even would remember the week leading up to Josh's first start a couple of years ago. Is there an anxiety as a coach going into a quarterback's first start, especially when, Pickett, Allen, it's been like an investment of a first-round pick?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, but I think just more unknown, right, in terms of what you're going to get. I'll tell you, though, this player in this case with Pickett, what we've seen on film, extremely poised, makes quick decisions, gets the ball out, puts stress on the defense. They've got really good skill players, which are matchup concerns and problems. And so he's done a great job to this point, all the way through preseason, into the Jets game this past week, and put them in a position to potentially win the game there. So very impressed at this point by their quarterback.
And then finally on personnel with the Steelers coach, Minkah Fitzpatrick, just a terrific player. Obviously, we saw what he's done, the work he's put in this league, having another fantastic season. How aware does Josh and the offense kind of have to be of where he is on the field and what he's doing, because he can do so much?
Yeah, he's a great football player, all-around player, seems to coordinate what they're doing back there. He's got great ball skills, seems to make plays that are great plays, and then he finds the ball, just the ball finds him at times too. So he's been very, very productive since coming over from Miami.
All right, Sunday at 1 o'clock. I mean, this is kind of not really what we're used to anymore around here in Buffalo because of your team's success and being on national TV and all the different ways that they've gone about the scheduling. A Sunday home 1 o'clock game, Coach, do you have to adjust your routine any bit? Because it's been a little while for this.
Yeah, a little bit, but I still expect the fans to show up.
Yep.
It's been good to be home this week and play at home now. This week it's been a while, so it's good to get back home in front of our fans and hopefully put a good product out there for them. And it should be a good game. Two good teams going at each other in the AFC.
Yeah, and it's always a fun game when these two teams get together, these two cities. They love their football so much, and it promises to be, I'm sure, on Sunday. Thanks a lot, Coach. We really appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Okay, sounds good. You
okay,
too.
Okay, thank you. That is head coach Sean McDermott on the West Her Hotline. Of course, Sean's appearance every week on WGR is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills, and by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. All right, so let's say, let's take a look at the injury outlook here. Benford, Kumerow, and Crowder, we knew them. Okay, yep. The ones we were waiting on, Poyer and Knox. He mentioned McKenzie still in the concussion protocol. He did not rule him out.
Yep.
As of right now, I'm not going to assume he's out or in, but Poyer and Knox are the big ones. How do those go about replacing him?
Knox, probably a combo effort, right? Sweeney maybe more as a blocker, although I'm not really read up on how good he is as a blocker compared to Knox. Morris is the one that's been getting looks in the pass game. Morris so far this season has ran, Quentin Morris, 34 routes from the tight end position. Sweeney's ran 4. I don't think Sweeney's been active, maybe up for every game, but 34-4. So I think that should be one sign that if there's a tight end that's going to get the ball thrown his way in this game, that Quentin Morris would be the answer for that. But you still might see Sweeney outsnap him, even if that's the case. So I would imagine that's probably going to be a combo effort. Poyer, Jaquan Johnson will be interesting. I liked Hamlin a lot through two games. And Johnson, I mean, there's the Waddle play down the field. I'm curious to see more of him because I don't necessarily love the style of safety he is for today's NFL. When you're that hard a hitter, you're going to have a penalty a game with a clean hit. But referees nowadays are just so reactionary to the impact of the hit, not even necessarily, or how impactful it is, not even where it's impacted. So Johnson and how he plays and his style, how that meshes with the Bills secondary, I'd be curious to see that.
The only thing I'd be really, I'm not super concerned about their passing game necessarily.
Yeah.
They are going to drive the ball down the field, I think, a little bit more with Kenny Pickett. But they do have length, right? These receivers have some length.
Yeah.
Jaquan and DeMar, and DeMar's a little bit longer. Jaquan's not the biggest dude.
No.
Right? I mean, I think
he's built more than he's tall or anything.
Right. So I think sometimes I get a little bit concerned if that's a 50-50 ball, right? We saw this with Levi Wallace when even though he was longer, he wasn't necessarily strong enough. And now, by the way, he's on the Steelers and coming here.
Yeah.
But that does concern me a little bit sometimes.
Well, as long as they're throwing 50-50 balls to Chase Claypool, because he's horrible.
He's
at 50-50.
Not good at him.
Do you see the pick he had last week? Everyone was going viral with a screenshot of the ball entering Kenny, right about to hit Kenny Pickett in the hands. He's way above these Jets corners, and it's somehow this was an interception because he tipped the ball up like a volleyball right to the defenders.
Right.
But even though Claypool, despite his size, is not a good contested catch player like you might think, Pickens can make can make you look silly. So
let's real quick go out to a phone call. Kyle in South Florida wants to chime in. Hi, Kyle, go ahead.
Hey guys, I actually been on hold so long just listening. I forgot I was even on hold, but I did have I did have a comment, and this is actually back to the Russell Wilson thing. So I don't know if you guys can actually pull the clip because it's on Pardon My Take, and a lot of that stuff isn't probably for terrestrial air. But they interviewed Fitzpatrick on, and they were going kind of top quarterback, and it's a great soundbite because he's talking about why Josh. He calls him that dude and why he just loves him. And he says he's just a dude in the locker room. And then he says, and then you got some quarterbacks like one out in Denver that have their own private office and have no respect from the locker room. So Fitzy aired him out too. And I just, when you guys were talking about this earlier, I didn't know if you had already mentioned it, but to your point, people are lining up to take shots at this guy out of nowhere. So you kind of wonder what's leading to all that.
I did read this. I did not mention it. So thank you, Kyle, for doing that. I don't think it's not kind of out of nowhere anymore. I think it's been underlying, and now you have an opportunity because he's been so bad. I think that's what it is, Kyle. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Right. If he's winning and you say all this stuff, it's why are you going after this guy? He's winning. He's doing everything you say. Obviously, they're playing for him. But when this happens, it makes it a way easier target to go after Russell Wilson. Thanks a lot for the call. That's Getting Connected with Our Fans, brought to you by the law firm of Gelbert and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up the hour, and then Tracy Wolfson at 11 o'clock on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.